Welcome to ACC Nation. On board, Will Ogenen, Xavion, and I'm Jim Quist. We'll never get rid of firing up our grills, even when it's snowing outside, because that's just who we are. Don't ask. And it's no different with fall sports firing up. The United Soccer Coaches preseason poll places seven men's teams and six women's teams from the ACC in the top 25. Both North Carolina on the men's side and Duke on the women's side are ranked three and lead the conference in the poll. The AVCA Volleyball Coaches preseason poll has Pitt ranked at number 20. They're the sole ACC team in the top 25. And there are three additional teams lurking in the receiving votes category. In football, the CBS Sports 129 places just three ACC teams and Notre Dame in their top 25. Meanwhile, in the Sports Illustrated preseason top 25, there are four ACC teams and Notre Dame. Take a further look at those stories on preseason rankings at accnation.net. Speaking of football, you'll want to check out the video rundown of all 14 conference football teams, also on the website in our preview, and don't miss a great primer on ESPN's Football Power Index. You'll get to see where all of the conference football teams rank. Interesting stuff. Plus, don't miss Will's piece on the Eagles. He's got more than a handful of reasons that other teams shouldn't disrespect Boston College. It's all at accnation.net. That's accnation.net. Last week's episode had plenty of college football drama. What would another week be without more? Unfortunately, this time it has lowered the bar even further. As a player has died, a staff is let go, and a head coach is on paid leave at Maryland. Here's a school whose athletic program is geared toward echoes of the past. I'll say it 100 times. Go to a restaurant, get bad service, or your food is crappy. Guess what? Look at the manager. There's only one person to look at. Who's in charge of these schools? Where are school administrators in all these messes?
I mean, it's never a good incident to hear a 19-year-old loses his life while playing a sport. It's kind of, unfortunately, with the sport in question, football, it's kind of to be expected, but not necessarily from off-season things or off-the-field things. If every time you strap on the shoulder pads and helmet and you go on the field, you are playing and taking a risk with your life, whether it's taking a hit or hitting or doing something, but that's on the field. From my understanding, this was off-season workouts where they pushed the player too hard and he went on to lose his life, which is never, I don't care what level of football, whether it's little league, whether it's college, whether it's a professional, should that be at risk for any young man or any player. It's very disheartening to see, and I think the disheartening is just beginning to start with what's kind of unraveling at Maryland. So it's a very, very sad story overall, and hopefully those who need to be punished for their negative actions get punished. So
this is definitely a very sad story. And it kind of brought back the tale of Corey Stringer, who played for the Minnesota Vikings for 5 years. And in 2001, during a practice down south in Mankato, suffered from heat exhaustion, heat stroke, and died. And I think that's really where people started realizing just how hard it is to be practicing in the heat. And this is, and you know, over the years we've seen more and more, it's gotten a lot better, after that. But I feel like in this situation, this goes back to what what Jim was talking about, or you're trying to go old school when old school does not need to be in here right now. Looking at an article on SB Nation, the temperatures were in the the upper 80s in that day, and it's still warm. I mean, you gotta be careful, and you gotta hydrate. But looking at this, it looks like that there were, I felt like there was a lot being asked out of the kids on a day like that. When you're being asked to run 10 yard sprints, and when the temperature's flirting with 90, that's That's a lot, and you normally don't do that consecutively in a football game. So what's the point of doing that? I mean, you know, I'm curious to see what this investigation, you know, reveals, but this does not look good on Maryland and DJ Durkin right now.
I just really, you know, it just seems to me like after all of the incidents over the years that people would have learned by now.
It's just, and we were going to mention that, you know, McNair, he's 6'4", 325. You know, Stringer was at the time of his death was 335. And this is, you know, this is the thing. You know, these are, you know, offensive linemen who weigh well over 300 pounds who, let's be real, offensive linemen do not need to be running 110-yard sprints on a football field.
No.
Unless it's after the ice cream truck.
Yeah, exactly. But not in this case. But it was unnecessary, to be honest. Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see where this goes. And again, I want to emphasize, this really comes down to school administrators. And anytime there's a mess going on at a school, you can't isolate. I'm sorry. You can't isolate an athletic department and say, oh, well, there's kind of a separate entity. Bull. Okay? I'm sorry. If you're a school administrator, you're a president, you have administration underneath of you that's responsible for this, that's your daggone job. Okay? Start managing your schools. And it starts with oversight of your athletic departments just as much as you look after everything else. Okay? If you can't manage, get the hell out. You know, I'm sorry. You know, we wouldn't have this mess over in Louisville and a lot of other places if people were doing their jobs. You know, I could really go off on that. I've seen too much, fed up with it. And somebody's got to get called on the carpet. And it's not just the coaches, and it's not just the staff. Now, certainly, in my eyes, that's just stupid. Stupid stuff. But, you know, this is a top-to-bottom sort of thing for me. You gotta start looking at the top and saying, you know, where are the built-in oversights and other things that are going on here? Why isn't somebody stepping up and saying, hey, coach, or hey, athletic trainer, or whatever? You can't do this. Just what you guys just pointed out. 300-plus pound lineman. Why? What the hey is wrong with you, man?
This is not the only issue that was going on with Maryland. I mean, you look at, you know, the things that have come out since with the reports of, you know, intimidation and fear. And reading some of the story here, like a player had a meal slapped out of his hands in front of the team. Weights and stuff are being thrown at the players by the strength and conditioning coach. What does this accomplish? This is not toughening up the kids.
No, that's stupid.
It's embarrassing. You're making them feel embarrassed in front of his, you know, teammates. If anything,
these are young men too. I mean, you know, I'm sorry. There's no excuse for any age, but you're doing this to young men. What? It'll give Matt Canada, formerly of the ACC, some head coaching time while this mess is cleaned up.
Here. Let me just interrupt one last thing before we move on.
Sure.
People like to make fun of the SEC and all the seedy stuff and going on. Go look at what's gone on in the Big Ten the last, basically since what, 2000, you know, when everything came out about Joe Paterno, and just look at all these issues with schools in the Big Ten. Yep. You'll be surprised at how dirty things have gotten.
it's disturbing. Yeah. And I did read something about that earlier today, and you may have been looking at the same article that I looked at, and it was just like, oh gosh, when you start wrapping it all together into a nice little tidy package and you put a bow on it, it's not the type of gift you want to open. Toss it. Somebody has got to get a grip and start saying, hey, we got to do something here, and not just talk about it. I mean, that's our job, talking. You know, the people who are in charge, who get paid big bucks to do stuff and to be administrators and to oversee. Come on, guys, ladies, do your daggone job. All right.
I mean, all the money that these conferences are making, especially like you said, I mean, the SEC and then the Big 12, mm-hmm. you would think they would have enough money delegated to take care of certain things and make sure these things are tight, but clearly not.
Yep. It's very disappointing. I know that a lot of people have big bones to pick with the NCAA, you know, billion-dollar business and all of the nonsense that goes on there. Well, you know, that's another place that needs to have a nice little sweep of things and get their, mm-hmm. their house in order. All right. As you mentioned in the last episode, Will, about having all these depressing topics to talk about, I don't want to leave it on a downer, Debbie Downer note here. Yeah. Got a question for both of you. And obviously, Will is going to recognize this immediately. Why wouldn't you eat a Mater and Mayo sandwich?
What is that?
Yeah, Will, what is that? What's a Mater and Mayo sandwich?
What are the grossest concoctions ever?
Okay. No, I wouldn't eat it then.
Come on now. Nice couple of slabs of bread and slathered with some good mayonnaise and put a thick old, you know, Hanover tomato on top of that.
Yeah, that's it?
That's it. It's a Mater and Mayo.
Oh, you said Mato. Oh, like, Mater. Oh, ew.
Mater and Mayo.
No, I'm okay.
I saw.
I'm getting a little queasy now.
I saw Will's response to a tweet on that earlier today. I laughed. I've had many a Mater and Mayo sandwich in my life. They're not bad. Not bad. Of course, I don't
eat. Was this during college? When you couldn't afford Astro real food?
When I was younger, it was just that's ramen noodle time.
Did they have ramen noodles when you were in college?
Noodles have been around a long time.
That still doesn't answer the question, though.
No, it doesn't.
Thank you.
I'm not going there. Yeah. So, yeah, I've had my fair share of Mater and Mayo sandwiches. Here's another sandwich, and I thought I'd bring this one up, too, since you're kind of queasy. Let's see if you'd eat this. Peanut butter and mayonnaise.
No.
No?
If you were to just stop the peanut butter, yeah, I would eat mm-hmm. that.
But no mayonnaise. What is it, an aversion to mayonnaise?
No? Mayo makes me gag.
Okay.
The smell of it. That's why.
The smell of mayo makes you gag.
Yes.
Oh, right. Now, Xavion, do you eat mayonnaise?
It's like very light.
Mm. Okay.
And that's usually like, yeah, it's one of the things I can go without eat very easily.
Okay. I see that in a recent report I was reading yesterday, as a matter of fact, talks about how millennials are ixnay on the mayo. So
good job, millennials.
Yeah. That mayonnaise sales have dropped off significantly because millennials won't eat it. And I don't know why. I didn't really get into the depth of the article. But yeah, I quit eating mayo quite a few years ago, actually. And don't miss it. But do miss those good old days of peanut butter and mayo, though. Yummy. Can't beat it.
See how you're alone on that, right?
That's why I look like a 75-year-old. And my arteries are screaming, among the other things that I ate when I was younger. All right, let's get into finding out what your impression of the Sports Illustrated preseason top 25 for college football is, either in one word or in many. And we'll start out with Will on this one. Number one, Clemson. One or many?
Reasonable. Well, I mean, I think there's two teams that are separated ahead of the pack, and mm-hmm. it's Alabama and Clemson. And, you know, most people have Alabama number one, but you can make a legit argument for Clemson at number one with everything they bring back, especially at defensive line. I mean, we're going to have the quarterback controversy going into the season, but mm-hmm. I think either way, Clemson's going to be just fine.
I'm right there with Will. I'd actually put Clemson and Alabama as 1A and 1B at this point.
That's not a bad way of looking at it. I mean, I think they're both fairly even in a lot of ways, and we'll see how things progress
you know, about three or four games in, and then we'll have a clear shot as to whether, you know, one is one or two is one or whatever. So let's go to number two, Alabama. Xavion, one word or many?
For Alabama, like we just said with Clemson, but I'll throw a word out there, and it's really offense with a question mark.
Yeah, and that quarterback issue down there is the big question mark right now. Yeah. Will?
Paul White, Sports Illustrated, put Alabama number two. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Lord, that was a great impression.
Where is Paul Feinbaum? Lord have mercy. Okay. We'll stick with you, that northern thing going on there. That was a northern accent, right? Number three, Wisconsin, Will.
That was me, a guy in Minnesota trying to do a southern accent. But remember, I lived in Virginia for 18 years. So,
yeah, and you lived in a part of Virginia where they definitely have accents, too. So.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The drunken Sconnies at number three, you know, they have a great running game. Jonathan Taylor is, I believe, is his name. Yep. They're going to be typical Wisconsin team this year. I still wish nothing but bad things for them because I hate the state of Wisconsin, except for
for the beer.
Except for some of the beer. Yep. Yeah,
some of the beer.
Some.
Yeah.
Some.
Okay, Wisconsin. What do you think, Xavion?
One word and be surprised. I didn't really know them to be on any early season radars. They definitely weren't on my radar, so it's a bit surprising to see them up this high. But they are bringing back three of their, I think, top five offensive linemen, and then if you have the returning running back, Jonathan Taylor, that is recipe for success. So it's a good spot, but I'm a little bit surprised.
Yeah, Taylor had
my immediate thought about was with Jonathan Taylor as I was thinking of the old show Home Improvement and Jonathan Taylor Thomas. For some reason, that was stuck in my head.
Ooh, okay.
Or the podcast I listened to, one of the podcasts I listened to, call him Jonathan Taylor Tailback.
He was a freshman last year, had almost 2,000 yards. So, yeah, he looks like he could have a good year if he continues. When you have a guy on your team whose last name is Cephas, it kind of fits into the Alabama thing. He should be playing there. Anyway,
his first name, Bo?
Yeah, could be. We'll make it so. All sure. Right. Xavion, let's talk about Washington Huskies out of the Pac-12. They lost to Penn State in the Fiesta Bowl last year, but what do we got?
Overrated.
Okay.
I could buy something of what Xavion's saying, and we'll know for sure when they open up with Auburn September 1st. But, you get why they're there. I mean, they had such a great season last year. You know, they were 10-3, and they return, you know, a lot of that team from last year. They have Jake Browning, a quarterback who, you know, had a pretty good year. Miles Gaskin, at running back, you know, had over 1,000 yards, 21 touchdowns. But, you know, the Pac-12 is kind of, you know, one of the bottom, you know, some people think it's the worst of the Power Five. And, you know, they have a good team, but I don't know if they're as good as some of the teams right behind them.
All right, let's stick with you and talk about number five, Oklahoma.
This is going to be an interesting team to watch this year, Oklahoma. They obviously are replacing Baker Mayfield. They get one season out of Kyler Murray before he goes to play baseball, and who knows how this is going to work out. It's going to—he, I mean, he did have, you know, in his spot duty to play pretty well last year, but it's when it's up to him, you know, what is he going to do? He obviously have a really good running game, but they have to throw the ball too, and you know, can he be consistent?
All right, one word or many for Oklahoma, Xavion?
Going with both this time. The one word is definitely interesting or intrigued. So it's interesting to see how a team does after losing, you know, a Heisman Trophy player, a number one overall pick. And 9 times out of 10, they experience some success, but it's not to the level what they did prior. So it's really interesting to see what direction Oklahoma is going to go in. Like Will said, they can definitely run the ball, but who's going to be throwing it? Because Baker Mayfield led a QBR for the nation the last 2 years, and that's not easy just to go down the street and say, hey, you know, you can start for us now. So it's going to be intriguing to see how the Sooners do this season.
All right, let's stick with you and talk about number six, Georgia. One word or many?
I'd say underrated. You don't go and give that type of performance in a national championship and essentially have the game taken away from you, and then you end up at number six the following year, especially with the recruiting success they've had. Yeah, I would say underrated.
All right. Will, one word or many? Georgia.
I would agree with Savion. That was actually the word I was going to use, is underrated. I mean, yeah, sure, they lost Nick Chubb and Sony Michel in the backfield, but DeAndre Swift was a really good back from last year. And, yeah, they lose Roquan Smith on defense, but they're still going to be really good. And I'd probably put them up at three personally.
All right. And we'll stick with you, Will. Number seven, Penn State. One word or many?
I guess I would say that's about where I would put them, is somewhere in the back half of the top 10. I mean, they're going to be a pretty good team. You know, they're right there with Wisconsin in terms of the favorites in the Big Ten. But, you know, they do have some return. You know, they return a lot of that offense, but they have a lot of question marks on defense, though, and they lose a lot.
Just two words, and it's slightly overrated. I don't believe they're a better team than Auburn or a better team than Ohio State, but I would definitely put them above West Virginia, who's at 10, so not to give away the list. Seven is a little bit of a stretch.
I would agree with you. And their quarterback, Trace McSorley, is on the Heisman watch list, by the way. Something to keep an eye on. All right, let's go to number eight. Xavion, one word or many?
Don't have many words, but don't really have one word even for Auburn. So let's just say TBD.
All right. That's probably the safest way with Auburn, because they have such weird ups and downs sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, Will, number eight, Auburn. One word or many?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. They don't play a true road game until October 6th. Wow. So they're going to have the schedule's in their favor. But yeah, I think they're about where they need to be. You know, back again, like I said, with Penn State, back half of the top 10, maybe the third best team in the SEC. But you know, I think they have their own set of questions to answer, especially in the running game.
All right, next up is number nine, Ohio State. One word or many?
I'm going to take the term TBD that Xavion used with Auburn and put it right here, just because of all the uncertainty surrounding the program right now.
I can see that. Okay, Xavion, one word or many?
Head coach question mark.
And we talked about that, and on the last episode, we talked about how that could really play into how the team performs. Xavion, we'll stick with you at number 10. It's West Virginia. How are the Mountaineers going to do this year? One word or many?
One word is, again, defense question mark, because they didn't play any last year.
Yeah, it looks like it might be another problem again. Will, what are your thoughts on West Virginia?
Well, I think we could say that for a lot of teams in the Big 12, Xavion. But I would say overrated. I don't think they're a top 10 team. You're taking a team that was 7-6 last year and telling me they're going to be ranked in the top 10. I think they have way too many question marks to be up that high. I would definitely have at least two teams behind them in this ahead of them, if not more.
Just going to remind everybody that they lost in the, listen closely, Heart of Dallas Bowl to Utah last year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that may be something.
And they're a top 10 team? Oh, my God.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Will, Michigan State, number 11.
And as far as the national scene, I think they're a little bit underrated. I like this team a lot this year. I feel like you know, they had a rough year a couple of years ago, rebounded last year, had a nice season. They return, you know, almost the entire starting 22 from last year's team, you know, on both sides of the ball. And I think they could be a team. They definitely should be ahead of West Virginia, I'll say that. And I think they could work our way up towards the top five before the season's over.
Let's see if we can skip over to be determined here. Number 11, Michigan State, Xavion. One word or many?
Big Ten, dark horse.
Okay.
I like that. I like that, Xavion.
Yeah. All right. Well, Xavion, we'll stick with you because this is a Pac-12 team. It's funny how that always works out, isn't it? Number 12, it's Stanford.
Oh, overrated.
Overrated.
You can't go 9-5 and lose to USC twice and be ranked ahead of them.
I see how it's the USC factor. Okay. All right. Will, Stanford.
Yeah, obviously they have the favorite for the Heisman and Bryce Love, but I always look at the biggest question mark as, you know, quarterback. They've had some issues there for a few years, and I'm not fully sure they're answered. They're gonna win a lot of games on the back of Bryce Love, but you know, if they want to get into the top 10, they need to do something in the air.
Okay, and number 13, it's Miami. Will,
I think this is a little more of a fair rating compared to the one we did last week. I still think Miami's the most talented team in the Coastal. I have, as I've said many times, I have questions about them, but I think this is a little more of a fair rating in the top 15.
All right, and Xavion, what are your thoughts on Miami? They were your darling last year. Are they this year?
Not this year, and it's really based off of the quarterback's play. The one word I would say for them is mistakes.
That's a very astute observation, because that was an issue last year, and it appears to be an issue in camp as well.
My question is, does the turnover chair apply to the quarterback when he throws interceptions? Like, does he get to wear it?
Maybe their opponents should make one up and hold that up every time he throws an interception or has a turnover. What do you think?
They just have the dunce. They have the dunce cap.
Oh,
okay. He has to wear that after every turnover.
Golly, Ned. We're harsh on that, on Malik Rozier.
That's good.
Number 14, it's TCU, Xavion. Big 12 team, what do you think?
It's a mixture of both. It's a surprise again, because TCU always has these up-and-down seasons where they are dynamite and they're one of the top five teams in the nation, and then they're absolutely horrendous the following year. So it's like a back and forth constant with them. So for me, it's a surprise.
One word or many? TCU.
I think this is a little high for them. They lost too many players from last year's team. Replacing a quarterback. Who knows it's always a question mark when you're replacing a quarterback unless you're Alabama or Clemson and rolling in five stars every time you need one. But yeah, I'm not sure they should be ranked this high.
The number 15, Michigan. One word or many, Will?
I think this is Harbaugh's best year to make noise, especially now that he has a competent quarterback. But still, even if he did, they're still no better than the fourth best team in the Big Ten.
Two. Okay. Xavion, number 15, Michigan.
Finally, with a question mark, do they finally do what is expected of Harbaugh and the Wolverines, or is this finally the last season he's here coaching?
I was going to bring that question up for you guys after you finished. Is he on the hot seat?
It's lukewarm right now, I would say. They're definitely not too fond of what's been going on the last couple of seasons. I mean, since he's come back, has he beat Ohio State?
Ooh. No.
Okay.
So the one thing you have to do, he hasn't done.
Hasn't delivered. Well, Xavion, just because you love them so much, at number 16, one word or many, it's Notre Dame.
The German word for Scheiße.
Okay.
I know.
I could see that one coming a mile off, man. And I got some on me because the fan was blowing the wrong way.
My bad.
All right, Will, number 16, Notre Dame.
A little high to me with Josh Adams gone, losing Equanimee St. Brown. I still don't trust Brandon Wimbush, and he's never been, like I said last week, he's never been a competent passer. And, you know, if Notre Dame gets in trouble with the running game at any point this year, I can't expect him to bail them out.
One of the things that I'm observing in the national media is the same thing that I saw with Miami last year. There seems to be an incredible amount of overhype.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that works out. Will, number 17, UCF.
They're going to be an interesting team this year because, you know, they're obviously coming off the quote unquote national championship season, lose their coach, they lose, you know, ten starters. I don't think they're going to go 13-0 again, but you know, they could be a team that, with everything back, could easily go, say, something like 10-2 and be a team that will probably be the group of five representative in the New Year's Day bowl games again.
Okay. Xavion, number 17, UCF, one word or many?
Say unfair, because you can't go undefeated and not be given a spot in the playoff last year. And I think this is this is Sports Illustrated making this, but giving them 17 to kind of pacify them for last year's success, I don't think is very fair.
All right. Well, they did beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl last year, so, you know, that's not for nothing. So, All right. Well, let's stick with you, Xavion. Number 18, it's Florida State.
One word, bounce back.
I think you may be right. Will?
Yeah, I like that word, bounce back year with a new coach, different philosophy, and hopefully a better season. I think that's a good word.
Okay, number 19, it's Arizona. Will, one word or many?
Well, they're basically here because of one player, and that's their quarterback, Khalil Tate, who is a lot of fun to watch. I'm not going to lie there.
Xavion, number 19, Arizona. One word.
Overrated.
Okay.
You have to get it out.
Well, that was many.
I just went through the whole list, and I'm definitely standing. Every Pac-12 team listed on this list is overrated, and there's a big, big reason why. I just realized. But that's for another podcast.
All right. Well, we'll stick with you, and we'll go to Houston, number 20. One word or many?
Why?
That's probably a good question. It's kind of the thought I had too. Will, number 20, Houston.
They had to put Houston in this just to get Ed Oliver some more hype. If you don't know who Ed Oliver is, he's a defensive lineman who is just an absolute beast. But the rest of the team is a huge question mark. You know, their quarterback was decent last year, but they're replacing their top running back, their top two receivers. Yeah, they're probably the one team. If I'm taking a team out of this and putting somebody else's team in here, this is the team I would take out.
Okay, I was going to say this is probably the first team that drops out of the top 25. Number 21, Mississippi State. One word or many, Will?
Fair. You know, they returned a lot from last year's team that was a 9-win team, and they're loaded with talent.
Okay. Xavion, how about you? 21, Mississippi State.
Middle of the pack. That's how I kind of view them in the SEC.
That'd be about right. Let's stick with you, Xavion. Number 22, Texas. One word or many?
I'd say this is the dark horse of the Big 12 for sure.
Okay. Will, Texas.
I just don't know about Texas yet. They're on the way up, obviously. They went 7-6 last year, returned, you know, some starters, but I guess I just need to see a little more out of the quarterback position. And really, their running game was horrible last year, but I have questions about them here.
Okay, we'll stick with you. And number 23, LSU, one word or many?
This is another team I would kick out of the rankings right here. I don't think they're that good. They have a lot of question marks, and their head coach is probably already on the hot seat in year two.
Yeah. All right, Xavion, number 23, LSU.
Down year. I don't see – I'm pretty much right there with Will. I don't see what I guess Sports Illustrated is seeing.
Let's stick with you. Number 24, NC State. One word or many?
This is perfect for them, honestly. They had a great season last year, and you lose a lot, so you – to be in the top 25 is all you could ask for with what you're returning. So I think good spot.
Will, your thoughts on number 24, NC State?
It's a fair ranking. I like, obviously, we talk about how great their offense will be with Ryan Finley back, Kelvin Harmon back. I mean, yes, they lose Jalen Samuels, but the offense will be a little more, I think the offense will be a lot more vertical this year. Obviously, we have tons of questions about the defense with the whole D-line gone and, you know, with only three starters back. So they're going to have to adjust pretty quickly.
All right. Last but not least, it's number 25, Florida Atlantic.
Another group of five sleeper. I mean, we saw, if y'all watched that game last year, I believe they had a they went 11-3 last year. Absolutely destroyed Akron in their bowl 50-3, returned 10 starters on a team that gave up less than 23 points a game. They're going to be one of those group of five teams who will be on a lot of people's radars this year.
And playing at 2 a.m. on ESPN. All right.
Yeah,
and,
on the replay. Yep.
Yep. Number 25, Florida Atlantic. Xavion, one word or many?
Cinderella.
Ooh.
I think this is going to be a really good season for Florida Atlantic. Yeah, Lane Kiffin is doing what we haven't expected him to do as a head coach and leading a program and bringing in legitimate talent constantly. So I think this is going to be – I think I see a UCF-like – season for Florida Atlantic this year.
All right. Interesting. So we've got some very interesting matchups at the front end of the season, some non-con stuff. And
quick question.
Yes.
Can we overall give one word on the Source Illustrated list, or are we just going to?
Sure. You know, based upon some of the comments so far, maybe that's appropriate. So one word or many, Xavion?
All the one words I have are words that I'm not allowed to say on this podcast. So I'll make it many. Okay, this is definitely biased, but I can't for the sake of me understand how the team that won the conference last year in the Pac-12 isn't even on this list. That really bothers me in more ways than one. Like, I'm absolutely astounded at this list. Yeah, I'll keep it at that.
Okay.
I just wanted to voice my disdain for Sports Illustrated and this terrible list.
I tell you what, though, Xavion, given Sports Illustrated's history, that might be a blessing in disguise.
Okay, if what you're saying is true, then I'll take it. But I don't see.
Could be a curse. Yep, could be a curse. And listen, I do have this wonderful button here that when I press it, it makes this really kind of like distracting noise. So if you do something, you know, I just push the button.
Well, you might the listeners might have to fast forward for about 2-3 minutes straight, because I can string together those words mighty well.
I'm sure that you can. I have never known you to do that when I've been around you. However,
when it comes to football, it's different.
I am absolutely confident in your abilities to do so. So how about that?
Thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. As a heads up, the play-by-play announcer for James Madison, Dave Thomas, is going to be speaking to us about the FCS football powerhouse Dukes. They're ranked number 2 this preseason. Now, why are we having somebody from the CAA on the program? Well, that's because they're facing off with NC State in Raleigh Saturday, September 1st. It's a matchup with a large implication for both teams, and we wanted to get a feel for what the Wolfpack are going to be facing. Okay, so that's on our next episode. Our special guest is Dave Thomas, the play-by-play announcer for James Madison Dukes. That should be very interesting. Hey, join all of us on Twitter. Will Ogenen is at Will's World MN. Xavion is at XAYVEON. And I'm at ACC The Q. Look for us on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube at ACC Nation. That's ACC Nation. And at our new Facebook page, ACC Nation Sports. And don't forget, make sure that your homepage on your computer or whatever you're checking us out on is accnation.net. accnation.net. Until next time.